Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 104 as we continue working our way through the Psalms, how to live a psalm-like life. Psalm 104, you'll find that on page 827 in the Pew Bible. Our commentaries point out that Psalm 103 and 104 kind of go together as David in Psalm 103 blesses the Lord for God's redemption. And now in Psalm 104, we see the psalmist blessing God, using the same language David did in Psalm 103, but to bless the Lord specifically for being the God of creation. And you see all of the days of the work week of the Lord as he made creation in Genesis chapter 1. They're all here, days 1 through 6, what God made on those specific days. They're all put in Psalm 104. Psalm 104 is really just a poem or a song based on Genesis chapter 1. There's an outline of the message for you, treasuring God by enjoying his gifts. It's in the bulletin as we study the Word of God together in Psalm 104. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you teach us Psalm 104 so that your praise as our creator and recreator may always be in our hearts and on our lips. Unite our hearts, dear Father, to fear the Lord. And we pray that you would teach us the wisdom that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask all of these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able, please stand with me for the reading of the Word of God in Psalm 104. This is God's Word. Thanks be to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. He set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. The mountains rose and the valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests, the stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats, and the rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers. He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness, and it is night, when all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan, which you form to play in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord. O my soul, praise the Lord. You may be seated. So far, the reading of God's word, and I encourage you to keep Psalm 104 available, open for the message on treasuring God by enjoying his gifts. Dear congregation of Christ, brothers, sisters in the Lord, and friends of our church family, no one really saw this trend coming. The Secret Garden, subtitle, An Inky, I-N-K-Y, Inky Treasure Hunt. It's an adult coloring book. It sold about 10 million copies not too long ago. And it was translated in 14 different languages. I wonder if you're thinking like I was, who has the time to be coloring as adults? Anyone want to claim that they've been coloring in an adult coloring book lately? Why are adults coloring in coloring books? Why is this so popular? One reason is that people are stressed out. People are saying, according to one commentary, that, I color myself calm. It de-stresses me. I've got so much stress in my life, and I want to get calm and quiet. I want to discover peace. So the way they're doing that, right, is by trying to unplug and get in touch with nature, to get in touch with the creation around them. So they're busy coloring The Secret Garden and other adult coloring books by the titles of Romantic Country or The Magic Jungle. Dear friends, long before there were adult coloring books, God gave us a way to keep calm when we're stressed out, to get in touch with the nature he has created, to sing about it, to pray through that, and to really get outside to enjoy the God who enjoys the work of his hands. I appreciate the word of the Lord as it comes to us here in Psalm 104, that we are to treasure God by enjoying his gifts. Treasure God by enjoying God's gifts. And we first of all want to take a look at the Creator who is rejoicing in his creation, and then the creation that's actually the creatures that are rejoicing in their Creator, and how we do that specifically and practically. First of all, the Creator, bless the Lord, say good things about the Lord. Oh, my soul, he's stirring himself up. Stir yourself up by saying, oh, Lord, my God, you are very great, for you are the Creator who has created light, and the light we see when we wake up in the morning as the sun shines. You think of that light, dear friends, as for you to see God who would have been in hiding without that light. God says, I put the light on like you put your jacket on. I put the light on so you can see the God who would have remained hidden otherwise. I wrap myself with light as with a garment, verse 2, stretching out the heavens like a tent. God is not nature, and nature is not God. God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. So this world is not a matter of a random accident. This world is not a random accident. This world and everything in it, the galaxies and the universe, all of the creatures described here are truly the work of God's hand. So what is creation? Creation is a movie theater for you to be watching, and for us to be watching the motion pictures of God's wisdom and his skill, the beauty of our beautiful God. This is our Father's world. Or think of creation as God, your Father's playground for you as children. And he says to you, go out and play. That is the world we are living in. Or think of the creation of the Lord, not just as a playground or as a movie theater, but the creation around us, dear friends, is to the work of our Savior's hands. Jesus Christ is the Creator. I know I've asked that before, but I'm going to ask it again. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Creator? I hope and pray we have as our Savior, that we've acknowledged Jesus Christ as our Savior. But have you ever really consciously, personally embraced and received Jesus Christ as our Creator? He creates this world as a theater, as a playground, and really as a garden to discover who He is. Everywhere we go, our God is present right there. God is not nature, and nature is not God, and this God is staying active and involved in His creation. He doesn't, like the deists of old would have said, right, God kind of turns the creation and turns it and then just kind of lets it go. He doesn't just kind of pull the pulley start and then it kind of goes on its own. God is not only has begun this creation, but He's maintaining it. He's preserving it. He's holding it together and keeping it going. And what is the goal? He's bringing it to the praise of the glory of His grace. He laid the beams of His chambers on the waters, verse 3. He makes the clouds His chariot. He rides on them. He set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved. Our God and Jesus Christ, the Creator, is the Lord of climate change. He covers the deep as with a garment. At your rebuke, He says to the waters, so far, no further, this much and no more. He sets the boundaries of the waters in the earth that He has made. The mountains rise and the valleys sink. He sets the boundaries. There it is in verse 9. And He sends the springs, right? He sends the rains, dear friends, to grow the vegetation of the fields so that He may feed the animals He has made. And the rivers flow according to His command. Our Lord stays active and involved. Whenever I think of this, I always remember my professor at Reformed Bible College, now Kuiper College, Dr. Lyle Bierma. He teaches at Calvin Seminary now. But he taught us that when God created the heavens and the earth, He said, "Let it be." And it was. But God constantly is saying every single moment of creation right now, let it be, let it be, let it be. And if God does not say, let it be, it will not be. If God isn't saying, let it be, that tree wouldn't be there right now. We couldn't see it to behold the wonderful works of God. Let it be. Or it wouldn't exist. Behold the power of the Lord. He stays active and involved. If God stops talking, the world would no longer exist. Let us bow down and bless the Lord. For He gives drink to the beasts of the field. I mean, who gives a second thought? Who gives a first thought, for that matter? Who gives a first or a second thought to, you know, the rock badgers in the rocks? We can't see, you know, where we can't even see or hardly can ever go, or the storks in the trees, as the psalmist says. Who gives a thought to this? Why does this matter? It matters because it matters to God. Matter matters. God made it. He loves it. He said it's good. And we should be rejoicing in the God who has created all of these wonderful works. He causes the grass to grow. He provides food for the earth, verse 14. And the God who's constantly saying, let it be, is the God who brings life. The God of life allows you to live, and me too. And the God of life also says, let it not be. And then we die. And the God of life and death brings eternal life out of death by Jesus Christ, the Creator, who was buried in the earth and rose from the dead on Easter Sunday.
Our Lord, the Creator, rejoices in the work of His hands. And His creatures are also rejoicing in their Creator. The Lord, for instance, He makes the moon to mark the seasons, verse 19, and sets the boundaries for the sun, makes darkness at night when all the beasts of the forest creep about. It's the young lions gather their food. It's almost as if the lions are saying, give me this day my daily bread. And the Lord goes ahead and He provides the daily food for the lions as well. And He provides wine to gladden the heart of man. Verse 15 of the text, oil to make the face shine. Brothers and sisters, God is a great Creator, and He loves to give good gifts. He loves to delight and rejoice in the works of His hands. You realize that creation isn't like some sort of utility company. It's not just some sort of tool to get things done. We think of that as we consider verse 15. God gives wine to gladden the heart of man. You don't drink wine like you drink milk. You don't drink wine like you drink water, for instance. You drink wine to celebrate happy occasions. And you think of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in John chapter 2. What was His first miracle? His first miracle was to turn water into wine at a wedding. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came as the Creator and Redeemer of all creation to do what? Not just to forgive our sins, but He also came to give us joy and life and to celebrate, not to abuse alcohol, not to abuse wine, but He gives us the gift of wine to experience His pleasure as we celebrate happy occasions. And that's why I asked the question, I'm a little ahead of myself, but that's why I asked the question at the end there. The question of the week, am I trying to be more spiritual than God? Are you? Are you trying to be more spiritual than God is? God loves matter. He loves stuff. He made it. He loves wine. He wants you to delight in these good gifts. Are we taking with wisdom and discernment these gifts from God's hand to rejoice in Him as our Creator? And the creatures that God has made are the ones who are rejoicing in Him. God delights in what He has made. We read together, for instance, verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are Your works, and wisdom have You made them all. The earth is full of Your creatures. And in fact, the world that God has made is full of oceans, right, and seas. And God says that the creatures of the oceans are His pets, as it were, that He loves to see playing in the oceans that He has created. The living things, both small and great, they all look to the Lord for food in their due season. He opens His hand to them, and they are filled with good things. God sends forth His Spirit in verse 30 to renew the creation, to renew the face of the ground. And so the psalmist cries out, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. And there it is, may the Lord rejoice in His works. I will sing then to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. And I will meditate on this. I'm going to mull it over. I'm going to think it through. I'm going to chew on this. Psalm 1, remember, told us to and invited us to meditate upon the law of the Lord. And toss it over. Think about it. And like you suck a piece of candy in church, you get all the flavor you can out of it. That's what we were to do with the law of the Lord. And we were to do that with creation as well, and the works of God's hands around us, to find delight in them because the Lord delights in what He has made. So my brothers and sisters, God says, come and play. Come and explore. Go and find me. And really, in all of creation around us, what we are to be doing is hitting rewind. Wherever you go in creation, and young people, as you study the works of God in science, for instance. We are to be doing what? We are to hit rewind. And all of those works that we see around us where God is saying, let it be, let it be. We rewind to go to God and we declare, wow. And we say, double wow. How majestic is the Lord of heaven and earth. And this God, who delights in what he made and continues to sustain, did it all by wisdom. Verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Proverbs chapter 8 talks about the same theme as well. And in Proverbs 8, we read together that wisdom made everything. God doesn't do anything without wisdom. God does nothing without wisdom. And all of these creatures and all of these creations were created and made by God through wisdom divine. Wisdom was here before you were. And before I was, wisdom was here. And God the Father spoke the word of wisdom. And by his Spirit, he created out of nothing all that we see. And all of those themes, dear friends, come together. Genesis chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 8 and Psalm 104, they all converge. They all come together in him who is wisdom, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, if you turn there with me in your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 1. What is Paul doing? Paul is meditating on Psalm 104. And what is he doing as he meditates in Colossians chapter 1, page 1729? Page 1729. He's doing exactly what the psalmist does here. He's meditating on the Creator's wonderful works. And he brings all of these, you know, threads together. Speaking of Jesus Christ, then, Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, the one who has first place, preeminence in all of creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. Jesus is the wisdom of God himself, who is filling up everything. Wherever we go, Jesus Christ supercharges it and energizes it with his very presence. He's filling everything with his love. And with his life, everything is from him and for him and through him. And he holds everything, the atoms together. We read together in Psalm 104 at the end. I wonder if you think, why in the world did the psalmist say this? Let the sinners be consumed from the earth. And let the wicked be no more. It seems like it's out of place. My brothers and sisters, ever since we fell in Adam, sinners want a garden without God. Sinners want a creation without a God walking in it. They want to be their own gods. They want their own praise. And they want to make their own rules. Sinners are vandalizing God's creation. So God must judge sinners for their folly. And while today is still the day of salvation, Jesus, who is wisdom, who died on a cross for fools like you and me, says, would you please give me your life? Give me your life. I give my life for you.
to forgive the folly of your sin, for trying to edit me out of your life. I am wisdom. I know just what to do with the mess of your life. I know just what to do with it. I've got all the skill, the genius, ingenuity, the engineering. By wisdom, this world works. Give me the mess you made. Give me your emptiness. We have all the reason to ask Jesus now for forgiveness and to ask Jesus, please recreate me. Give me your wisdom. And He will. How do we apply this, dear friends, as we read, praise the Lord, bless the Lord? How do you do that? Three ways, at the very least. Sharpen your observation skills. Sharpen your observation skills. That's step one. Realize the earth is the Lord's, Lord Jesus Christ. He created it. He redeemed it. He's redeeming it by His blood and through His Spirit. So let's sharpen our observation skills as we look around us. Let us have a sharp eye to see the handiwork of the Lord and give Him the positive feedback of praise. Sharpen your skills and your senses to see God, to see God's presence, to see His fingerprints and His footprints all around you and me. Sharpen your eyesight so that you can see the beauty of God and the brilliance of a bluebird. To feel as you walk through the forest that God was there because He made moss to step on. Sharpen your observation skills so that you hear He's there. You hear God through those singing crickets. Sharpen your observation skills. Let's open up our eyes and open up our ears to see how God planned it all. He produced it all. He enjoys it. And He wants us to feel His pleasure as we enjoy the work of His hands. And then share your excitement as so the memory of God and His presence of Jesus Christ, our Creator, lasts a lot longer. We live in a day and age where we're all tempted to do this. I'm going to just keep my thoughts to myself. Don't keep your thoughts to yourself when you're seeing this, when you're seeing God and His wonderful works. We tend to get in these ruts of a hide it in my heart religion. God says, don't hide it in your heart. Don't keep it to yourself. Share it. Say it out loud with your children and your grandchildren and anyone around us. Praise the Lord and bless God for the work of His hands. That's how it sticks. That's how God's presence really sticks. And a memory sticks in your soul, in your mind. It's just like enjoying God by this. It's like cheering at a football game. You don't keep your thoughts to yourself. You cheer for your team, your favorite team. Or it's when your child or your grandchild takes his or her first steps. What are you doing? You're clapping. This is how we respond, dear friends. God wants us to enjoy it out loud. It comes out of us like God is so good, like spike the football, do the dance in the end zone, celebrating Jesus Christ, the cosmic creator. And then please get your kids outside. Sometimes we just have to. Or the Facebook and the Instagram, and you know, there's a time and a place for that. That's the whole point. Enjoy God's gifts, but dear friends, sometimes we have to ask our children. Okay, we need to be telling our children, time to unplug. Time to no more face time, no more TV screen time. Because when you think about it, it's actually when you start looking at statistics, that's why children are so anxious and stressed out. And maybe you are too. Yeah, buy an adult coloring book. That's actually maybe a good exercise too. But have your children get outside and play in God's playground. And then, dear friends, let us learn to hate evil so we really enjoy the beauty of God. I've said this quote before, and it applies again here. Edmund Burke said, if you do not know how to hate where you are to hate, then you will never love what you are to love. It's the same thing with creation. If you do not know how to hate, and dear friends, this is hard for me. I don't know if you can relate to this. I like just to keep myself calm. Don't say a thing. I'm not going to make any waves here. I'm not going to step on any toes. But God is telling us to make waves. And say it's, call evil, evil. And be horrified at the evil of abortion and sex trafficking, the abuse of God's wonderful works, and that's just a couple of them. You can add to the examples. But if we are not absolutely horrified by evil because it vandalizes God's image and His creation, we will never ever really deeply enjoy the beauty and wisdom of all of God's works. To be a holy Christian. Do you think this way? To be a holy Christian is to love what God loves. Yes, it's the Bible. Yes, it's prayer, but it's also enjoying creation around us. So go ahead, enjoy it. Music, not just Christian. Yes, be discerning. It's got to be true, beautiful, and good. Don't get me wrong. Be discerning. Be wise. But God gives us music. And not all music comes from Christians, and all music, some music from those who are not yet Christians, who are unbelievers. Display for us. The great songwriter himself, our Lord. Go ahead and get involved in medicine and in science and artwork, and do artwork and enjoy sports and enjoy a glass of wine. Go ahead and enjoy it. God loves these things, and we are as well. It's called an earthy spirituality. And dear friends, it really is putting the reformed into reformational Christianity. We would have never seen this trend coming, but it's caught on like wildfire. It's popular these days for adults to be coloring books, to get calm, to be quiet, to discover peace. My dear friends, we discover peace and enjoy tranquility as we bless the Lord by sharpening our observation skills, by hating evil to enjoy beauty, and by sharing out loud publicly with great excitement as we experience the wonderful works of our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we